Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Also, you can follow Rob and me on social media. I am at Chris_Broussard on Twitter, ChrisBroussard68 on the gram. Rob is at RobParkerFS1 on both Twitter and Instagram, and it is a TV theme show Thursday, so that means you can tweet Rob at his handle RobParkerFS1 and turn in your TV theme show request, and we get a lot of them, but we'll try to get it on during or coming out of the breaks. All right, Greg Jennings, Super Bowl champion, Fox NFL analyst. Nationally known bodybuilder coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk all things NFL. But let's go to baseball. And Rob, this story really got under your craw.
It did. You know, I wrote a column before this went down for Deadspin that I was against it. And then today, Chris, we hear the news.
Well, that news being that the Chicago White Sox have hired Tony La Russa as their new manager. 76-year-old Tony La Russa. He becomes the oldest manager in the majors by 5 years. And he's only the second manager in Major League Baseball history to take over a team at 75 years or older. Jack McKeon being the other one. He was 80, Rob.
Which is just
Sounds crazy. I mean, I guess he was in great shape, but he was 80, took over the Marlins. They went 40-50, and his
there
only
was
season,
an old joke about. There was an old joke about. I'm not going to give you the punchline, but there's an old joke about his nickname was Trader Jack, right? Trader Jack McKeon, Chris, okay. And he was 80 years old, and the old joke was like he's so old that. Guess what they were trading back then? There wasn't ball players, you know, like how long he's been around.
Oh, gosh. I think I know where you were going with that.
But, I'm just saying.
I got my views on this hiring, but we want to hear yours first.
I think this is totally ridiculous, living in the past. You got this young, swag-filled team, Chris, with the White Sox. They made it to the playoffs. They did lose to the A's, but they have a bright future and a lot of great young guys there. And I just see a disconnect. This is like an old crutch. And Tony La Russa was in the front office with the Angels. He retired on his own terms, Chris. He won a World Series in St. Louis, his last one. Retired right after that. Got into the Hall of Fame through the Veterans Committee. Like, just a beautiful career, right? 3 World Championships.
He was a tremendous man.
Right. Yep. So this is not like Tony La Russa, like there's something wrong with him. I just don't understand the thinking behind this. The trend in baseball is hiring these young guys who are filled with analytics and who haven't managed, even in the minor leagues. Like most of the managers, you look around, they don't even have any minor league experience. And that was the trend. And for the White Sox to dig deep, he's not 62, Chris. I'm not saying if you're over 60, you can't work and contribute, but he's almost 80 years old. And we've seen old guys do this before, right? Joe Gibbs came out of retirement and went back to Washington. And Phil Jackson was almost 70 years old. You know, he didn't coach.
Well, he was president.
But he was a GM. Right. And there's a slew of other people. And I get they can't let it go. I just think this is a bad way. Is that what you want? Do you want Tony La Russa to get fired when they start off, Chris, 5-25 or whatever it is? Is that where
Dusty
is that where
Baker 71?
Yeah, but seven.
And his was he was obviously this was his first year with the Astros. And what? And
how did he get his job? Because of the scandal that went on.
Yeah, but they didn't have to hire
Dusty. No, but I'm just saying, had it not been for that, this is a young and upcoming team. Dusty Baker was given a team, Chris, that was basically on life support. He wasn't given a plum franchise at 76 years old.
They still were a very good team.
Who?
The Astros.
No, they finished under 500. They weren't that good. I mean, they made a run in the playoffs.
Games. There's a lot of teams that are really good teams that have a 60-game run.
But they made a run
in the playoffs. And I thought Dusty did a good job. I'm pushing back. And look, you might be right. La Russa might be horrible. But I'm pushing back because you mentioned all the young managers who don't have any experience who are hired to manage these teams. Why are they hired, Rob? We know. Because they're going to sit there and do exactly what the front office has told them to do. This is your lineup. This is when you go with these batters. This is when you go with these pitchers. This guy's got this many pitches he can go, and then you got to get him out. They're just sitting there. They're puppets for the front office to do their analytics. And most of the old guard aren't putting up with that mess. I think the White Sox are going in a different direction. I definitely don't think Tony La Russa is going to sit there and be a puppet for the front office. I think he's going to do old school managing mixed with the analytics. I'm sure he don't know nothing about analytics probably, you know, relatively speaking. But let the guys, the experts in that, come make their suggestions, tell you what they think. But at the end of the day, La Russa's going to take all of that information and then he's going to coach with that plus his feel, which we know his feel for the game is great. And I actually like it, Rob. I'd love to see a Buck Showalter back in the game. I know he's not 76, but, you know, like this to me, maybe this is a step away from what we've been seeing with too many of these teams.
See, here's my other problem. You got guys like Marcus Thames, who's the hitting coach for the Yankees, who's put in his time, done his work, looking for his first opportunity. As a manager, here's a guy who was a baseball player, did all the other stuff. He can't get a job because it's still Bo Porter. What about giving Bo Porter, Chris, who's way younger, who's still in the game, who's a broadcaster? What about Bo Porter? What about giving him another opportunity? This is once again, guys taking care. Tony La Russa already managed there. Tony La Russa is the good old boy. Let's call it what it is.
But he's not a retread. He's a good old boy.
But he's a good old boy. That's why he's getting a job at 76.
Hiring Tony La Russa.
Can Ron Washington get another opportunity, Chris? Can Ron Washington get another opportunity or no?
He took the Rangers to the World Series. There's a lot of other hires that they could hire brothers instead of, you know, some of these other guys. Especially if they're going to just dictate to him with analytics.
But I'm talking about a 76-year-old guy who was retired. That was my problem. He was just like when Jay Cutler came back out of retirement.
Well, that's
he had already
that's
thrown the towel
the
in. And you
that's
know what, Chris?
The game versus
let me paint opening day in Chicago for you. Here's the White Sox. You ready? The White Sox take the field, and 76-year-old Tony La Russa takes a couple steps to the top of the steps of the dugout, and he yells out this to his team.
What?
Hey, you damn kids, get off my lawn!
You know what you need to follow that up with, Alex.
That's where we are.
Everything's not funny.
Everything's not funny. No, that was funny. Alex was asleep at the switch. I was ready to go.
I was just a little lost for a sec, Rob. My bad.
I mean, look, there, Rob, we're about to... How old are the two candidates for president? Rob,
I'm not talking
Alex,
about
that.
I'm just saying.
It's the same. They're both in their 70s.
No, but this is
so
76-year-old guy to get
country,
hired.
You can it, manage a baseball team.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It just is.
How?
When there are other people who are looking for opportunities. Chris,
I'm
going to sit here right now.
What they're looking
I will
for.
Not
I'm
be doing
a
radio show at
76
years old.
I'm trying to hire the best man for the job, but they think he's the best man. He's got the track record.
He's a familiar. This is what's going on. This is the old boy network. It's about hiring people you feel comfortable with and who you know instead of giving some other people opportunities. A 76-year-old guy who's already managed there and already
retired and already
was put in the Hall of Fame.
What's wrong with him? So he can't coach? He's supposed to leave him out to pasture?
Yes, he's done. He retired.
There are 76-year-old guys.
He didn't have to retire in St. Louis. He retired on his own.
We've seen that. Michael Jordan retired, and he wanted to come back.
He won 76. Let me tell you something. He won't relate to these guys. This will be a disaster. This will be Michael Jordan going to play for Washington.
This will be Tom Brady going to play in Tampa Bay.
This is what this is going to turn into.
Yeah, Tom Brady in Tampa Bay is freaking great right now.
Yeah, we'll see when it's all over. That's all you got.
We'll see. But the facts are showing he's doing damage. Stop it. 76, if he's in great shape, well, apparently he is, he'll be fine. And this hot young White Sox team you're talking about, yeah, I like their talent, but this was their first winning season in like nearly a decade. I mean, let's see him follow up with it. And maybe LaRusso's the guy to get through to him. That's what they got to do is relate. You can relate to guys. Hubie Brown was 69. He took over the Memphis Grizzlies with white chocolate, Jason Williams, and they had a great relationship. And he won 50 games his second year there.
Oh, whoop-de-doo, 50 games, my God, in the NBA.
That's a great NBA season.
And here's the other thing,
You're just raving about Lamar Jackson winning regular season games.
Here's the other thing, too. Was Connie Mack not available? Did they reach out to Connie Mack or Casey Stengel?
Stop.
Like, why not go there and let their go dig them up
and bring them out and sit them in? That's why you don't go there.
No, that's right. Tony La Russa, for all the intents and purposes,
Stop it. Is dead too.
Tony La Russa's living his life.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. He wants to keep working.
You're the only one who could buy in or endorse a 76-year-old guy getting a manager's job in the new age of baseball. Seriously.
You and I complain constantly about the new age of baseball. But that doesn't mean everybody manages that way.
Chris, my point is Tony La Russa's
a
fossil.
You want one of these young robots?
He's a fossil. I would rather Marcus Thames or give Ron Washington another chance.
The color angle, fine. Of course I want more black managers. But you can say that about any hiring.
No, but I'm trying to tell you that this is a good old boy hire. That's the problem I have with it.
A good old boy hire typically is when the dude is a bad manager.
No, it ain't.
Tony La Russa's been a great manager.
He was
a
great manager.
You can't argue with a dude that's won
three
Super Bowls.
You just said it in past tense.
I mean, three World Series? You can't. He might still be, for all we know. We'll see. And if he's bad, I'll admit it. I was wrong, but I'm not poo-pooing the hire. I'm not saying just because a guy is 76 that he can't be a good manager. I'm not going there. Because some people I know are darn near 76. And they're still on the radio ranting and raving and ripping.
Why don't you leave Jason Smith out of this?
All right, it's the Odd Couple, 877-99 on Fox. Your turn to weigh in. You've been listening to us go back and forth about this Tony La Russa hiring at age 76. Are you with it? Do you agree with me that, hey, that doesn't mean he can't manage because he's 76? He was a great manager. Or are you with Rob? Stop it. He's way too old. Let him just sit at home and watch TV. Your turn to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I don't know where you're getting these from.
All right, yeah,
we need to mix in a couple other ones.
I mean, we are like.
I'm trying not to do Graybeard Radio today.
I mean, can we get some shows that people watch?
This is Jimmy Neutron. People love this show.
I'm old, I guess. I'm older than, yeah.
CB, when's the last time you watched cartoons?
I remember Jimmy Neutron, but I was an adult by the time this was.
Hey, it was so popular. Good.
Yeah, I heard it. Okay, I'm lost. Rob, you on the, I've never seen you stumped like this.
No, I'm not that young. Hey, 877-99 on Fox is the number if you want to chime in.
Here's the question. Is Tony La Russa too old at 76 to be hired as the Chicago White Sox manager? Your turn away and let's get to it.
Yep. Let's go to Nate in Connecticut. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Nate?
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up, man?
Yeah, I think no way he could manage. Like, come on, guys. Think what 76 is. Like, that's...
Well, how old are you? You sound like you about six.
So much from now to...
How old are you, Nate?
He really doesn't have it.
Nate, how old are you?
Me? I'm 17.
Okay, come on. When I was 17, Rob, I thought 31 was old. I was like, "What? Once you hit 30, what's life about? What's there left?" And you probably felt the same way, Rob.
31 was old? My God.
Yeah, when I was 17, I was looking at people in their 30s like, man, what?
I didn't think that. I thought maybe in their 50s, I thought people were older, but.
Nate has no perspective.
Well, Nate is a young guy.
He would say somebody your age shouldn't be managing.
Nah, that's different. I mean, I don't look at it the same way. I just think that let's stop doing this and stop denying people opportunities.
Well, it doesn't happen a lot. It doesn't happen a lot.
I mean, this is a good old boy hire. They like him. They feel comfortable. Chris, it's not about his credentials or whatever. He was a fine manager. I'm not ripping.
What's to say he can't still be?
La Russa. Huh?
What's to say he can't still be?
I just think at 76.
I mean, I'm trying to hire the best man for the job.
This is comfort food. This is we feel comfortable. This is somebody we know. It doesn't matter that he's old and has been out the game and hasn't managed for 8 years. Chris, it's been 8 years. It's not like he stopped managing last week.
I would rather see. Now, you mentioned some guy, Ron Washington. He did a great job. He was good. You know, he should be somewhere managing. There's no question about it in my mind. But I would rather see Tony La Russa than one of these young guys who's never managed and who's not going to get the opportunity to really manage. He's just going to paint by numbers, you know, listen to what the front office tells him to do. And that's that. I'd rather see Tony La Russa get a shot. Nah, maybe if does well, maybe this will finally put somewhat of a nail in the coffin of some of the stuff we're seeing.
I just think this will end badly where the players won't relate and there'll be like a problem with there's a relatability, Chris, with younger guys and where the game is headed and where Tony La Russa comes from. This guy was around, he's a baseball lifer. Even after he retired, he's in the front office with the Los Angeles Angels. So I get it. And, you know, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, I'll adapt and I'll do this and I'll do that. I just don't believe you could teach an old dog new tricks. And there'll be issues. And you know what? There'll probably be issues with the front office as well. What?
Well, yeah, there could be with the front office. But they got to know. They got to know they're not bringing in a puppet.
No, because you know what? When you bring a guy in and you give him this opportunity, he says, yeah, oh, yeah, I'm hip. I'm going to learn. I'm willing to this and that. And then you get down there and when he gets the job, then it's always hard. People will say anything to get hired. They will. They'll tell you, oh, yeah. And then when it happens.
But he didn't need this, Rob. There's no, like, now granted, maybe he was bored. Maybe he wanted to get back into, you know, get the feel back. You know, like you said, he's a lifer. This is all he's known. So, yeah, he probably wanted to get back to that.
Chris,
he certainly didn't need the money or anything like that.
It's not about the money, but it's a ego trip. And I'll tell you this. I promise you. I will not be out there covering games in the press box at 76 years old so that people can say, hey, wasn't that Rob Parker? Look at that guy in the front, that guy right there.
I don't know, man.
Rob Parker?
No, you're a lifer.
You
do.
You're a
lifer. No, I'm not. No,
you
are
never. I don't think you're going to ever retire.
That is after you don't. Are you kidding me? I will not be that guy.
No, I'm serious. I think you're going to work till. You're going to work.
I work all the holidays, but when my time is done, I'm done. And I want to give other people opportunities and let them experience and have an opportunity. This is like typical old guy trying to hang on, and it's not a good look for Tony La Russa.
Well, we'll see. If he leads them to some success, it's going to be a good look. All right, we got our man Greg Jennings coming up in a moment. It's always fun. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We are about to be joined by the Super Bowl champion, the Fox NFL analyst, and up-and-coming bodybuilder,
Greg Jennings.
What's up, brother?
What's happening?
What's happening, fellas?
Good to have you on, as always. All right,
Chris,
let
me just jump in because the Falcons and Panthers are playing. And, Greg, the Falcons obviously have had a disastrous season. And we saw the Todd Gurley play and, you know, how they lost to the Lions. You were doing that game. In fact, I was watching that, right? You were doing that game.
Correct.
Right.
I don't put that on Gurley, by the way.
I do. What do you make of that? How does that happen? And I know that Morris, the coach, took responsibility, but how does that happen, Greg? If he just stops before the end zone and runs the clock down, they would have won the game, kick a field goal, and wouldn't have had enough time for Matthew Stafford to lead the Lions down the field.
Yeah, so that play was it was a unique play. Obviously, the Detroit Lions defenders, most of them, all but one, was allowing Gurley to run free straight into the end zone. And if you watch the play, what happened is the safety, the last line of defense, he came up to tackle Gurley, and so Gurley kind of leans forward with his head down in his momentum. And that is what carried him beyond the goal line. If that were to never happen, if that defender were to just move and remove himself from trying to even impede Gurley, he gets down, no question, no thought. I truly believe that. But because that defender played as though he was going to tackle him, it caused Todd Gurley to continue in his momentum moving forward to break a tackle, if you will. And that little moment caused him to cross the goal line.
Even so, Greg, is that Gurley? I mean, I get, yeah, if he doesn't score, they win the game. But can you put that on Gurley? I mean, how about the defense stepping? They just marched right down the field on that defense.
And Chris, to that point, that was the point that I made during the broadcast. Okay, Gurley scored. Well, the game is about putting points on the board. Obviously, you want to be clock managing in that moment. He tried. He failed. Now, this is why we play complementary team football. This is why it's a team sport, because we have an offense that needs to put points on the board. We did that. Not the way we wanted, but we did it. Now it's up to the defense to now do their part, and they didn't. They failed.
I couldn't disagree with you guys more. To let Todd Gurley off the hook on a dumb
you're
play.
You're letting the defense off the hook.
No, it's
you
just
are.
Like, Greg, it's just like the Super Bowl. When the Falcons have first and 10 at the 22, all they need to do is kneel down three times, kick a field goal, go up by 11, and they win the Super Bowl. And you know what they do? They go back for a pass, and there's a holding, and there's a sack for 15 yards, and they take themselves out of field goal range, and then you blame the defense for not stopping Tom Brady because you gave him the ball
back.
I don't get that.
Rob Parker. Have you ever been in a uniform on the national stage running, trying to elude a tackler and then needing to go down? Have you ever had to do that?
No, oh, nope, but I pretended that I did it many times.
And so my point, Todd Gurley himself owned it. He didn't shy away from it. He didn't say it was on my defense. He said, that was on me. All I'm telling you is what my eyes saw as a spectator that was there and saw what his body did to guard himself from just being tackled willfully. And that is what led him to crossing the goal line with that momentum. We saw he wanted to get down. But if you go five steps back, you will see exactly what I'm trying to explain to you, who even if you see it now, you still will have your point that you want to make and you will disagree.
All right. We have spent 4 minutes too long on the Falcons. All right.
Go ahead. Well, let's play. All right. That's the only reason Greg, why I brought it up.
Yeah, this Greg knows Rob from Undisputed, so he going to go at you. You know that, Rob. We were talking earlier. We were debating over – David Carr put out his list 2 days ago, I believe, of the top quarterbacks he would build around under 25 years of age. And I was initially surprised he had Kyler Murray first and Lamar Jackson second, meaning I expected, of course, Jackson to be first. But the more I thought about it, the more I analyzed it. And I got to be honest, Greg. If you want to tell me Lamar Jackson's better right now, I'm fine with that. I don't want to argue that.
MVP of the league, right.
But
okay.
if I had to build a team right now, and I could start with either of those two guys, personally, I would take Kyler Murray. Where are you at on this?
I'm taking Kyler Murray. I'm taking Kyler Murray for this sole reason only is because I see what he can do right now as a pass thrower in this league. And right now, his level of throwing the football, quarterbacking from the pocket and throwing the football accurately and being able to win a game when needed by his arm and his arm alone, because he can run, he can elude, he can show escapability as well. Not like Lamar, not comparing him at all. But the game is won typically with quarterback arms when their teams are down and they need to make that surge and that charge. And Lamar Jackson just simply has not been able to do that.
How they've won 17 out of 18 games? How'd they do it? The Ravens.
With his talent. I'm just asking.
Okay.
Yep.
Asking. I got another question. How about Michael Thomas? What's going on with the Saints? And he was supposed to come back, and then he got into some altercation. I mean, this guy had the greatest season last year, and it's just been a disaster. Is there more to this?
I think there is more to it, Rob. When you look at the dynamic that has played itself out, you pay a player, obviously – people start saying, oh, well, will the player change? Well, I think ultimately the guys will change a little bit. But you look at the relationship between Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, and nobody will ever mention this or have mentioned it, but you think about the comments that were made this past offseason after the George Floyd incident and everything about the flag and kneeling and all of that. And the first person that comes out and says, that's my quarterback, I forgive him, Michael Thomas. Now it's almost like, is this relationship fractured? And what is it that would have fractured this relationship? Is it potentially that? Is it something that we just don't know? Is it that Michael Thomas really sees something in Drew that he doesn't like anymore as a quarterback? I don't have the answer to that. All I know is Michael Thomas, he's been too productive and he's been too good, both on the field and off the field, to start having these questions loom in our minds so that we can create these narratives. Keep playing ball, my man, and do what you've been doing up until this point in your career.
Well said. I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you, Greg. Let's say Dallas, you know, finishes 2-14 or 3-13 or something like that and has a top five pick. You're obviously not getting Trevor Lawrence with the, you know, unless you're the number one pick. Let's say if they could either trade up and get Trevor Lawrence or they stay at five or whatever and they can get Justin Fields from Ohio State. Do you think that would be the smart play, or would it be to, you know, franchise Dak and just stay with him?
I personally think if you could get Trevor Lawrence at any position, if you have the opportunity to trade up and the team agrees and says, okay, yeah, sure, and you can get Trevor Lawrence, take Trevor Lawrence. That is the only player that I believe is worth trading up for if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, with given my quarterbacking situation. Outside of that, Dak Prescott is your guy.
Okay. Is he? Do you know for sure he's going to be healthy? Or, I mean,
yeah, that's the health is in question with any player.
Well, I mean, he's hurt now, though, is what I'm saying. I get that.
I get that he's hurt now, but everyone always questions, okay, will they come back the same? Well, I mean, he's not the first player that has gone down with a broken ankle or a torn ACL or a tibia injury or any of those things that has come back and played well. When you look at Tua, he's about to start for the first time in his NFL career, and the question on him was, will he be the same player? We're about to see, but a team still took a chance. So you have a guy already that you know has experienced this league and has taken it by storm, if you will, as far as his statistics and Dak Prescott. You have a guy. If
so
you want
to sign Dak
future,
to a contract, Greg, would you sign him to a contract before seeing him play, like a new deal?
Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you would. Okay.
Last thing, Greg, and we got about a minute left. I forgot what I was going to ask. It was a good question, too.
It wasn't that important, Greg, as usual, you know.
It was a good question. Oh, here we go. You played for Mike McCarthy, of course. What is your thought and what do you feel and think when you heard these anonymous Cowboys players, they're coming out saying, you know, the coaching staff's not prepared and this and that, and it kind of painted him like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I'll say this, and Rob, you know this from our time. I can't stand the anonymous quote. I can't stand the anonymous player or coach or staff or employee. Own your comment if you're going to do that. But that just shows me that there is a deeper fracture than what is transpiring on the field. It is beyond the level of play on the field. And everyone wants to throw this on Mike McCarthy, and he should own it. He's going to have to. He's the head coach. But at some point, these players are going to have to own their part. Everyone thought Jason Garrett was the issue. He's no longer there. You address the coach. Now it's time to let's identify players that are in and players that have to go.
And let me just say this as a journalist my whole life. Some of the greatest journalism has come from unnamed sources and anonymous sources, including Deep Throat with Watergate. And sometimes, Greg, I hear you as a person, a player, not wanting that, but that's sometimes the only way you can get information that can make a difference. So sometimes
totally
you have to get it that way.
Totally agree.
Yep.
All right, that's our man, Greg Jennings. We appreciate the time, brother, as always.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, my man. Peace. We got a sneak peek into this week's Inside the Parker podcast coming up next. It's the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio, but first.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It is a TV theme show Thursday, and this is a DJ Alex Tyshirt remix of the greatest superhero ever. When I was a kid, it was all about Batman to me. Others like Superman, some like Spider-Man, some like the Green Lantern or Hornet or whatever he was. Some like Aquaman. Rob's favorite were the Wonder Twins, from what I hear. I was in the Batman.
What's wrong with the Wonder Twins? Zan and Jaina.
Yeah, you know, that's how I know they were your favorites, because you're the only one that knows their name.
Who?
What was their monkey's name?
I got no idea.
Gleek. Zan and Jaina. Hey, quick. Can you find the Wonder Twins?
Give me a sec.
Do that for next.
It's not an open. It's just like a,
I'll go out with it. How about that?
Yeah. Let's go out with that one. That includes Rob, the Wonder Twins.
It is time for Inside the Parker.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Here's reason number 150 why baseball is better than the NBA and better than the NFL. The reaction from baseball fans after the Dodgers won the World Series. People were crying. Fans were crying, boo-hooing. A generation had gone by, 32 years. So many people had never seen their team, the Dodgers, win. I didn't even know what kind of baseball town this was from afar until I moved to Los Angeles. They packed the ballpark with 4 million fans. Everybody says this is a Laker town. I'm not positive of that. This is a Dodger town. People love the Dodgers. They live and die with the Dodgers. and they finally got the championship they had coveted, and they let their emotions go. You don't see that often in sports. I don't know how many people would have boo-hooed if the Rams would have won that Super Bowl against the Patriots, or how many people really boo-hooed after the Lakers won. You know, they were happy. They were happy for LeBron and Anthony Davis, but this was different. This was special. This was a part of Los Angeles and the fabric of this community.
Stop it.
I need a tissue right now.
You lucky I don't have time to address that hogwash.
It ain't no hogwash.
That balderdash. That jibber jabber.
Hey, you know what,
that is
Chris?
So ridiculous.
You don't know. Look, you don't know LA like I know LA, and I don't know LA like Rob G.
LA is a Laker town. Period.
Like Rob G knows LA. Rob G.
It's a Laker town.
Step to the mic. Stop, Chris. 4 million people show up to Dodger Stadium. They love the Dodgers.
They play
Matter of
162
fact,
games.
Rob G, who had better,
games,
who had better ratings?
Year.
Who had better ratings, the Dodgers or the Lakers in the playoffs?
It's a Laker town,
that's not a
Rob.
Fair question, right?
No,
it's
I'm asking, who had better ratings?
Well, game one of the World Lakers. Series was bigger than game one of the finals.
Okay.
That is true.
This is all about the Lakers.
I'm talking about in L.A.
And they
Rob
won
G,
it
you
in
live
Kobe,
here, Rob
the year of Kobe's tragic
People
death.
Love the Dodgers.
Yeah, they do, but they love the Lakers more. It's a Lakers town. They love the Dodgers. I'm not going there, but it's a Lakers town. Period. The end.
It's not the end. It's the
jibber
Dodgers.
Jabber.
The blue
Hogwash.
And white. Look at the jerseys.